just show me Bulla Boy in his phone?
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair, you say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there cause the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, this is C.A. Nuri and I'm the host for today. Today is July 29th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, I'm joined with Aaron Green. And we're having a theme. I always like theme shows, right? So all of the conversation following it will be concentrating on the theme. I'm talking about, are we complaining for complaining's sake? Now, mind you, our shows tend to be a lot of complaining. We agitate for change. We agitate for reform. We agitate on the imagination of what this country could be. So I can appreciate complaining. I complain a lot. Anyone who follows me on social media would say, my Lord, C.A. Nuri is complaining a lot. But my complaints, I tend to give suggestions on what we should be doing, how we should obtain these things and what we should be challenging and so on and so on. So I try to say I complain with a reason, right? For a reason. But there were one or two things that we in the Bahamas have been complaining about for a while, right? And I'm saying we finally getting it. Now, mind you, some one or two things might be hiccuping, ain't going properly. But I said we finally get it. Let's complain about the car or the mechanism or the vehicle on how we move to the change, but not necessarily but the overall action that the change itself is a problem. For instance, for decades, Bahamians have been complaining that we have a national ID. A national ID, which is our voter's card, that is a piece of cardboard with a handwritten information and a picture is attached to it with scotch tape. We've been complaining that. We see that makes no sense. This ID is above other IDs. This is a national ID. You could get all kind of government information and benefits with this national ID. A piece of colored cardboard with handwritten information, right? Easily duplicated. And the picture is attached with scotch tape. That's a problem. And mind you, governments, continuous governments have been saying, oh, we can change that. We will change. And of course, we laugh because we know we're a developing nation. And even though other developing nations have transitioned and created an identification card that is more secured, we say, well, ours is just, we kind of slow. We'll get it eventually. This administration, right? Last minute. I gotta say it's last minute because election being election fever, and you don't do things during election fever because we get suspicious. I get suspicious. I get concerned and say, I wonder if they're doing this because election is close, right? It's a sincere critique. I understand. I understand the concern. But this administration, last hour, has decided to move from that cardboard paper to a mechanism, a voter's card that has biometrics on it. Biometrics meaning that there's information embedded into the ID itself. They're saying that they're going to transfer the information from the passport, because the passport is biometric also, and it's as a national ID, and transfer that information into this new ID or this old ID to make it more secured and can be used reasonably. There's a number of people up in arms saying, how you could be transferring my information that I give the government? It's still the government. The government has it, right? But I understand the anxiety, but the idea is we need this to happen. And I've seen that there are a number of politicians. When I say politicians, they're zealots. They're persons who act on their behalf. They send out a clarion call and say, hey, I need you all to complain. When you are not making sense, I'm not going to correct you. Say, no, it's a good thing. They have their peoples out now saying, crying conspiracy theory about something that we need, something that we've been asking for decades. And I want to know why. Why are we complaining about this biometrics, new ID, new concept for the voter's card? Is it something that we as Bohemians should be concerned about? I mean, let's flesh it out. Let me hear, why are you concerned? So I can say, okay, I see it. Let's now address it. Let's now address this one concern, 2, 3, 4, 5 concerns you do have, and fix it that we can move forward so we don't have to be with this plastic, this cardboard, this colored cardboard and a picture attached with scotch tape. I mean, I could put any one picture, right? Just tape any one picture I want onto the cardboard with some scotch tape and say that's a new person there, right? And we just have the time to address it. Someone finally, even if it's the last hour, the ninth hour, they really said, they finally decide to address it. Now it's time to have that debate on what can be corrected to make sure whatever it is they're implemented or plan to implement is done proficiently. Well, I have Erin Greer with me. I want her to join me in this conversation on why we complain about certain things. And mind you, Erin Greer tend to complain a lot, right? So I understand that. But I want to know this specific one because I have two things I want to come hash out on why Bohemians are up in arms. And this is one of them too, right? Go ahead, Erin. Kermit, you get the video yet? You watch it yet? Can I play that? Yes, thanks very much. Get that cue up. Thanks. I can send it to the producer because there's something else I want to talk about. Because you know, Kermit's face built up like storm when I said him things about Junkanoo. So I just want to make sure I'm able to play that. Go ahead, Erin.
Listen, at the risk of getting unnecessarily involved in a partisan back and forth, right, of the party F and MPLP back and forth, I think it's possible to be a... You could be a opposition that... tabled and passed legislation, and then now that you're in opposition, you could have substantive objections to the thing that you once tabled, the thing that you once initiated, right? Because it's possible that the provisions within the legislation changed, and those changes could fundamentally change the operation of the legislation, right? So that's possible. Like this idea that will you all table the bill? You all can't be complaining now. Is it possible that the parts of the bill have changed, which would have caused the opposition to raise objections? That's possible. It's not unreasonable that may have occurred. In fact, we see that happening over and over again, where we talk about obviously the Procurement Act and there's another act the FNM passed, and then PLP came in and said, well, parts of it weren't effective, efficient. That's possible. So I don't want to get caught up in that foolishness that has become a partisan back and forth, because nobody's actually, as far as I've seen, anything truly substantive, right? Like, here is a specific thing about the bill, or the way the bill has been rolled out, that we are concerned about.
Were we able to glance the bill or anything as yet?
No, I haven't taken a look at the biometric bill.
On the face value of it, just the face value of it, do you have any issues with it?
The idea that we move into biometrics?
The idea of moving to biometrics, one. Mm-hmm. And secondly, the idea that they are suggesting, because they haven't said they will do it yet, suggestion that they're going to take the information from the passport and just transfer it to this new.
Okay, so these are the spaces in which issues can arise. Because we never had a conversation about biometrics when the electronic passports came out. We didn't have a real conversation. Mm-hmm. The conversation we had was, oh, y'all are just stupid and afraid of the advancement of technology. Y'all just don't like new things.
Submissive.
But there are lots of questions to be asked and to be answered. And I don't want
to... Like what? What kind of questions are you concerned with?
Data security.
You are concerned that the information will be cracked and someone can take the information.
That's always a concern. And that the suggestion that that's an unreasonable concern will be batted out the window, yeah. Right? Data breaches occur in left, right, and center with the most well-invested companies. They get plenty of money and they still can't prevent
it. So that's
right?
A serious concern. So, and we need to ask questions on how to secure that.
Here's a question that was never asked to the Bahamian people, right? As a citizen, should you submitting your biometrics for one piece of information, to one entity for one document or one thing, does that automatically mean that every other agency gets your biometrics? Mm. Who owns the biometrics, right? Mm-hmm. Who owns the data? And so surely this should supposed to, now when we talk about is this process rushed? Yes, the process is rushed. So that's why I don't want to get into a partisan debate. Because if you follow the conversation that the PM, the PLP are trying to have with the FNM, oh, this is your bill, why are you making noise? Mm-hmm. Forget the FNM. We, the people, have never been brought into the conversation. Mm-hmm. We, the people, have never been allowed and able to make these decisions. In fact, they tell us, we going to do it.
Just slow the conversation down.
All right.
Let's move the FNM out of this conversation at all.
Let's take partisan politics out of it.
No, it's going to be partisan politics. We're going to have the government and the people. These are two conversations.
Yeah, but that ain't partisan politics.
Yeah, because there's a party involved. But hold on. The government is proposing this biometric thing.
Mm-hmm.
You raise one concern about security of the information, so therefore there needs to be a dialogue in terms of securing or assuring the public that the information can be secured. That's one conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Then you raise a concern that automatic transferring of information, your private information, to different government agencies. And the question is, who does your biometrics, your data, mm-hmm. belongs to? You know, see, Ellen talk about that all the time, that it belongs to the individual person.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot, and the automatic transfer suggests that it perhaps the information belongs to the government, and therefore the government can sell that information, and put it in quotes.
Uh-huh,
I'm not saying that they're doing it, right? And that is a serious conversation, the automatic transferring of information without my consent.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a debate by itself.
What happens if a government from a foreign jurisdiction requests information or data, right?
Mm-hmm.
It happens. And there's no particular process. So somebody just decides they're going to go to the agency where they know it'll be easiest to access the data.
Yeah.
I mean, what's a possible solution is that you have one center, one entity where all the biometrics are kept, and any other agency that wants access to it has to request it, has to get a court order, right? So in legislation, you say, look, if the data's been submitted for the electronic passport, see, because I don't have a choice. If I want a passport, I have to submit my data, right?
Yes.
There's no choice. Is there in legislation that the Parliamentary Registration Department can automatically access this data, but the police, but the Royal Public Health Authority cannot?
Hmm.
right?
Or the Royal Bahamas Police Force.
Right, the Royal Bahamas Police Force. So would the Royal Bahamas Police Force be able to circumvent existing legal procedures in terms of accessing DNA or fingerprints, right? Mm-hmm. Would they be able to circumvent a court order or a procedure requiring a court order to get access to this information by just going to a government ministry, just going to the passport office and say, we conducting this information and we need it, right?
When I was younger and attempting to get a job, a big job, over the bridge, mm-hmm. I don't need to call the hotel, right? Mm-hmm. Part of getting the job, I had to get my fingerprint, go to CID and get my fingerprint taken, mm-hmm. and send my fingerprint to the job. Mm-hmm. I felt uneasy about it, but I needed to get the job. This is a big-time job, right? Mm-hmm. Especially during that time in the 90s, right? And then we find out that it's unconstitutional. They can't be holding all this data and this fingerprint and whatever
it is. All of these things supposed to be empowered or enabled by legislation. I have a feeling that we sit in this place here. You know the ontological, cultural imperialism? Mm. That's when the dominant culture consumes or is so large that the smaller culture just gets consumed by it. So Bahamians, we right now, that's one of the biggest crises we have facing us with our proximity to the U.S., right? And because of the nature of our development, our proximity to the rest of the world through technology, we just sit here and, that's how it has happened in the U.S. Like, they do it in the U.S., we could do it here. But we forget the part where, no, they had to go to at the city level and then at the district level, yeah. at the state level, and then at the federal level to create a legal framework to allow these things to happen. Mm.
But let me just go step backwards again, and because we're listing possible concerns, because the conversation is why are we complaining and the possible concerns that we may have, right? You mentioned two. One, the automatic transfer and who owns the
data.
The data
and
in
who
general,
can access it.
And who can access it. What other concerns? People are not expressing it because they didn't say they didn't want to do it. But now we are fleshing out possible concerns. And what is... So can be hash out and complain about. I understand.
So I think those are the two basic ones, and then we could sort of expand data breach, the first one, mm-hmm. a little bit, because there's the risk of hackers, international hackers accessing.
But that happened at the passport office now.
Yeah, but so what? Mm-hmm. Hold on, pause. So that's good. So the government already knows that it has an obligation. Mm-hmm. The government already knows that it has an obligation to protect this information. Mm-hmm. The government already knows that it can't rely on I forget to unplug the beige computer when I went home last night, and they get in and take the data, mm-hmm. which is often the kind of a response that we, the people, are left with, right, after we've been breached, our rights have been breached. But then there's also a local risk, right, like people, the fear that somebody locally, some Bahamian is going to be able to access the data due to weak systems.
Earlier, we had a technocrat on the media, right? In the media, and it's rare to see a technocrat speaking, and it's good. I'm saying that's a good thing, mm-hmm. right? And the technocrat was expressing that, man, they're ready to run. They see the possibility of using this technology, the biometrics, and where we go in. And then they mentioned this is a technocrat who did this, not a politician. Mm-hmm. Said, man. The information at the passport office can be transferred, that we can speed up the process at least by 80% of the total voters' lists can be uploaded to their technology, that when you come, you don't no longer have to fill out the form, take a picture, you no longer have to bring your passport in, because you got to bring your passport, your mother's passport, proof of citizenship, all of these other documents that already exists, like person like my stepfather, mm-hmm. right, who I'm not sure if his passport is up to date because he's not traveling no more. He ain't going no place, so the passport expired. He have his birth certificate, it's an old one, right? But if he have to apply for that, he would have to now find when his mother died, born in 1912, right?
Mm-hmm. So think to find out who he
perfect
is. Perfect example. Think about this. These things represent a national security risk. Mm-hmm. Right? It's important for us to, it's important for the government to be able to see that because they put the
No, they acknowledge that.
No, they don't.
You think the government acknowledges the national security?
No, they don't because they put the onus and the burden on your stepfather.
Yeah.
Right? You don't want to travel, that's on you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there's a national security risk. You should ensure that all of your citizens have access to all of their documents to ensure that nobody else has access to them. They need to know what the documents are. They need to know where they are, right? And what they say to ensure that if for any reason somebody else is engaged in a little malfeasance, they could say, oh, no, wait, that's me. I'm here and look at my documents.
Yes.
And so if you see it as only a problem, look at these citizens, you don't care about them. Did you never realize this is a massive national security risk, and you could begin fixing that or diminishing the risk by building the, I don't know what to call it, like the citizen capacity, but building the strength of empowering your citizens to see themselves as citizens and to see how important having these documents are.
So let's say my stepfather wanted to go vote.
Yeah.
Right? And they decide not to use the information. I come to you, call it now. And they decide not to use the information from, quote, NIB, because if all his documents are under NIB,
yeah,
from when he first started paying NIB in general, all his mother's birth certificate and stuff like that, they have it. He no longer has it, but they have it because he turned them in, they scanned that in. The passport office, who has his history of him getting passports over the years, over the decades, they have all, have all his records over the decades, right?
Yeah.
He no longer has it, right? Now he wants to go and register to get this new ID.
I get it.
Let me finish. And they say, do you have these things? No, I don't have these things.
Right. So imagine now we have an entity that's the repository of all national documents, right? When NIB gets them, like you say, they scan them and they keep them, but they have a scanned, what do you call it, authorized copy. Like it's a verified copy, right? NIB has accepted it. It's been scanned. And then once it should go from NIB to a singular entity that verifies it again to say, okay, this is not a fraudulent document, and we're going to acknowledge it as authentic. All of that data should then go to that entity, right? NIB keeps a copy of it for NIB purposes because NIB collected it. If your stepfather goes to he said, look here, I'm 75 and I ready to vote again.
89.
I'm 89 and I ready to vote again, and I don't know where none of my papers are.
No.
The Parliamentary Registration Department should be able to go to that entity with whatever documents that your stepfather brings in, whatever information he could bring, a witness bring in with him, and they collect that information, and then they go to that national entity to attempt to say, look here, we got this boy. Right? He say start at NIB. He say he got 30, 50, 60 years of contributions should be documented. NIB took all his things and scanned them. They should be able to make a formal request enabled through legislation to access the data for the Parliamentary Registration
and
Department.
And this is where we are now. Let's go to the first caller here. Go ahead. Guardian Radio AM.
Hey, where is it, Norris?
You're a little muffled. I can try to hear you, but you may have to call on a different
It sounds
line.
Like you have water in the line.
Miami.
It sounds like you have water
in
the lines.
Let me give you the numbers again, because I want to hear from you, but it ain't going to be a good conversation, I mean, in terms of how it sounds. 323. You writing it down? 323.
323.
6232.
Okay.
Let me give you the next one. 325-4316. And I'll give you the next one again. 325-4259. Hopefully your line is clear that you can call back and we can hear you properly. But it's muffled now. I can't hear anything. Okay? Kerwin, let's go to the next call. Go ahead, Guardian Radio AM.
Good morning, guys. How are you all this morning?
Doing well, man.
Good.
Okay, I got three questions and one comment.
Right
quick. Okay. Is the passport office doing biometrics?
Yes.
They're doing biometrics, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Isn't the voter's card one of the most sacred documents in the country?
Yes.
Okay. One more question is, all right, did the former administration pass legislation pertaining to biometrics?
Yes.
Pardon me?
Yes, we established all that already, though, but go ahead.
Okay, all right. So now, why are they the ones actually complaining? The Bahamians are not complaining.
You know, Aaron Green covered all of this just now when we were saying why is the concern?
We complain about immigration and persons getting passport and all that. Whatever way some people assuming, right? If your biometric is entrenched into the voter's card, I think it's a good way to curve that situation.
But that's not a debate.
What is the debate then?
Okay, we can go over again because Aaron explained it. I asked him, what is the concern?
Okay.
And Aaron going into detail and explaining what is the concern, and we now have a debate on what is the concern and whether the concern she mentioned is warranted. But you're going low off there, because the things that you're talking about, we didn't cover. But let's hear her concern, hang up, and then hear her concern and call her back.
I have a comment on the concern, though.
Oh, I didn't know you mentioned the concern. I was waiting for you to talk about the concern. You start talking about other things.
Positive regression first.
No, yeah, but we covered that. Go ahead.
Yeah. All right, but my comment is, listen, we are speaking about biometrics. To have a baby in the Bahamas, your biometrics, okay? The child biometric is recorded, right? Nobody complains about that.
Is there legislation that enables that? See, because that's all we're saying is that if you have a formal procedure, then that formal procedure should be described by legislation or by regulations empowered by legislation. It's not just sufficient to say, well, that seemed like common sense to me. But that's true.
But why would the former administration pass a law
Did you hear that conversation say we're going to move it from being political and say the government and the people? We only talk about the people, the Bahamian people. Hold on. We're talking about the government now and the people concerned. So speak on behalf of the people. What is the concern?
My concern for the people is, I think it's a good thing to go that route. Let me explain to you why I said I think it's a good thing to go that route. Mm-hmm. Like I said, with the immigration issue, most of that will be curbed, okay? Because, you know, and as far as the voting rights, a lot of that will be curbed for persons voting in different constituencies, because when your biometric comes up, if you didn't represent 3 months before and state that you don't move, then whatever biometric is on, that's where you'll be voting, okay? Have a nice day.
Thank you very much.
Place of address is not a biometric. Mm-hmm. That's all right. Like, place of address is not a biometric. The 2 points I made, that it's not unreasonable for an opposition party that had tabled and passed legislation to raise objections once the new administration is implementing it. It could be that some substantive or fundamental provisions within the bill have been changed. So that's not unreasonable. But let's take it out of the realm of partisan opposition. There are concerns raised by the general public that should not be a partisan way. One of those concerns is the lack of coherence and clarity and transparency around the implementation of the legislation. And there are issues that the ordinary person can and should be concerned about. The first is an administrative issue. We should not assume that because one entity or agency or ministry is empowered by legislation to collect data, that every ministry, entity, or agency is empowered by legislation to collect data. That is reckless. It is juvenile and childish, and is not, and it does not speak to the rule of law. The second point is that the data security concerns, right, should be brought to the people. The question of the transference of data should be brought to the people, and you should show the people that you have authorized it in law before you allow it to happen. Because then somebody's going to sue you, to sue the government, and we, the people, are going to have to pay for it.
Let's go to the next caller here before we transition again. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. Call girl once. Call again twice. Let's go to the next caller. Guy in Radio AM.
Hey, what's up, Nori?
Hey, Richard, man. What are you saying?
Everything good. Look, you're Aaron there with you, right?
Yeah, much you do.
Listen to me. Aaron is very educated, right? But sometimes, I think Aaron, that's a good advice, needs to, like, be a little light to what the government doing, man, and, you know, don't try and, like,
so you didn't appreciate her contribution the concern was?
This is what I'm saying, right? I hear I said something about risks, right? Everything is a risk in life.
Bro, I want to thank you because today is the day I'm going to turn my life to crime. You are okay with people just playing with your lives and other people's lives? I'm okay with that. No, I agree with you. I agree with you. Let's not argue anymore. Let's not talk anymore. If people want to get swing, I shall swing them. I can swing you in the most gracious and Christian way. I can be gentle. I can be polite. I can be smooth with it. Okay? And you can enjoy it.
Okay.
You enjoying this part.
But, hey, Nori.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just was speaking on the risk factor thing, which she's talking about the thing, the card, the new card.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, Dwight was the first person was lobbying for something like that.
Yeah, we mentioned all that. That the Bahamian people asked for this.
Now listen, why was telling why?
Hello. What in line? Say, this text says, good morning. Do you realize that it's not going to be mandatory to use the biometric this election? But we ain't talking about this election. We talk about elections in general. But yes, I wanted to read that in the record. I know that it's not mandatory that we're going to implement this election. My concern, or why I bring it, is why are we complaining and what are the concerns? One of the concerns was having so many different agencies have access to it. Right? And should the information be transferred automatically, the keyword is automatically, from the passport office or from national insurance? And should there be, Aaron mentioned, should there be a depot where agencies, people can apply to get access to certain things? And also, of course, the security of it. But we're going to take a quick commercial break, right? I have another concern with people being up in arms that I want to read into the record and then have a conversation about. This is Guardian Radio AM with CA. And you recall, I see you. Bear with us. On the next side, we come directly to you. On Guardian Radio AM with CA Nuri, we'll be right back.
They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Hey kids, it's back! The Jeff Rogers Summer Basketball Camp, July 28th to August 8th at the Kendall Isaacs Gym. Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. for boys and girls, 5 to 18. Pair and learn from the NBA superstars past and present, including our very own Buddy Hield of the Golden State Warriors, Klay Thompson of the Dallas Mavericks, former Laker great Michael Sweet Bells Thompson, another great among the point guards back in the day, Muggsy Bogues, and many others. Application forms now at the Bahamas Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, Tonic Williams, Darling Highway. Call 341-4021 or check the website, jeffrogersbasketballcamp.com.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
What's going on, man? Long time no see, man.
I'm ready, funky man. It's been rough for the brother. Would you lay a slow fly with me, man?
Slow fly, $8, $5, I see it's going dead fast. Wait, dang, shabby.
Is that bad?
Dang, shabby, man.
I'm out of here,
bro. Don't ask me. Got no gas in my car, man.
We're asking all junkers to still go and support the vendors and their activity. However, we need to really pause and understand how the current actions will impact us, not just in Foxhill, but in the parade, because we believe that there will be some impacts if some sort of agreement is not made with the government on the way forward.
So as you pause, does that mean you're pausing from work and construction as well for the parades, preparing for the upcoming parade season?
So everything is currently on a pause.
Will that not impact your ability to be ready?
It will.
Definitely.
Most definitely will impact, and we have the ability to
catch up.
We have the ability to make certain amendments as it relates to the rules and eligibilities for the competition. And so we are confident in that. We have a structure in place already of what possibly could happen as it pertains to those parades. But we are moving forward. I don't want
Saxons for paying secret.
No, we don't want Clint in a serious way. Mm-hmm.
to play with the public's emotions that there won't be junk canoe.
Right.
We love junk canoe. And a lot of us have a serious mental problem when it comes to junk canoe, right? So there will be junk canoe parades. We are not sure if we'll be participating in the government junk canoe parades or we will be stepping in, as we have been saying for the past 20 years, and having our own independent holiday junk canoe
parades. That could be a possibility?
A big possibility. As a matter of fact, we're in the process now of meeting with some developers. You know, as you know, we have a 13.6 acres of crown land on Gladstone Road. We will be meeting with Bummer George on the process of start clearing that land with the possibility of hosting our own independent parades this year.
And you think you can pull that off?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yes. Clint, for the past 21 years, we have been managing all of the important aspects of that parade, from judging to the parade management team. The only thing out of our preview is the paying of the bleachers.
Right.
I'm paying the government workers, the police, et cetera, right. et cetera. So we know how to handle parades. We know how to manage parades. Yes. And the beautiful thing that this is presenting us is that we have to continue to be independent and strive for our independence here in New Providence. And so there's a real, real possibility that you will see a truly independent Junkanoo parade this year. You may not have bleachers, we advise the public, but there will be junk canoe parades if we cannot come to an agreement in an official way with the government of the Bahamas.
Sometimes we complain for complaining's sake. This is continuing the conversation on whether we just complain for complaining's sake. There are now talks about junk canoe moving off bay, the possibility. If government does not prepare to negotiate, there are plans or talks, just talks, about having junk and bleachers. You got to stand up, right? There are talks about...
Poor people have to stand up anyway.
Anyway. But I want to know what is the complaint. And I see you, Carla. I'm going to come to you right now, Carla. I'm going to know what is the complaint. For decades, again, the Bahamian people say, man, we need a junk and authority where government is moved out of it. And then we have different aspects or people around the culture mechanism come there and manage junk canoe, right? It'll be an authority that say, hey, this is the cultural aspect. We have someone who's from the Ministry of Culture, whatever it is. We have someone from the junk canoe committee. We have someone in terms of the police or whoever it is, a part of this authority who overlooks the overarching about the transition, the development, the gearing, the steering of junk canoe in general. Have everybody who in the arts and culture involved in the development of junk canoe. For years, we've been complaining that junk canoe is a parade and not a festival, and that we've been trying to get junk canoe. That's how the JCNP was established, you know. The idea that we were trying to get junk canoe to move from just how it's being operated to get to be a festival. We've been failing at it. And the government say, we continue to fail at it, and perhaps we need to have a discussion about making it an authority. It ain't perfect, but we need you all to come and show us what you all have concerns about this authority. But authority got to come, right? So I want to know, what is the concern that the JCNP is complaining about? Just call in and say, this is my concern. This is why we have, I'm not sure if you heard from the clip. They said, the JCNP say, no junkie group should be pasted. Stop. No junk canoe should be practicing. Stop. No junk canoe should be going to no junk canoe activity. Stop. And definitely they ain't going to go into the one. I remember one person say, if you better like Fox Hill Congos if you're going to the Fox Hill Festival, because that's the only one who participating. He said, but you can go out there and buy some fritters, but you ain't going to rush. I want to know, why is it? What is it there? Is their concern? Let's go to the callers and I have Aaron Green respond to this. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio, AM. They complaining? I want to understand what they complaining about. If government said they can step back, but the commission can be in charge.
Well, it is, Stark. I don't waste too long with you and Aaron.
Go ahead, Bremen. How you doing? Good morning.
Yuri.
Hey, man.
The problem I have, right? What everybody has to remember, everybody, you, everybody, government, everybody, is that we, the drunkenness, the majority of us, doesn't get paid for what we does.
You keep on saying that.
Huh?
You keep on saying that. Yes, we know.
Yeah, but you all got to realize that we does it because we love to do it. Mm-hmm. And nobody can jam anything down on our throat. If we don't want to go, we won't go. If we want to go, we would go. Okay? That's what y'all got to get. I don't want anybody try zeroing in on us to to make some money for them and whosoever. The thing is, we, the majority of drunkenness, doesn't get paid for what we do.
Before I let you go, Bremen.
Go ahead, before you let me go.
Would you like to get paid?
Would I like for what?
To be paid.
To be paid?
Yeah.
I mean, if government want to get into it, sure, pay us.
Hold on. The government is saying that they can form an authority for they move out of the payment, right? The authority could be managing you all and you have access to being paid.
We don't need any management. We going to go to as it is now.
So you want want government money for free?
Say it again?
You just want government money for free.
Who's getting government money for free? I'm not getting government money for free.
I asked if you want to pay.
Let me show you something. Let me say something to you. I put in hundreds of dollars every year just to rush. Just to rush. Hundreds of dollars. Okay, I get nothing from government. Not one penny.
What about from the party, from the group you rush with? Does the group you rush with compensate you or any of the members for rushing, just rushing, or compensate you for the money that you spent to build your costume?
Of course not.
See, that's the problem. You don't think that's a problem?
Bremen, pray for me because I can start swinging
Let's
from
go to the
trees,
next
cousin,
there,
uncle.
And let me show you something. Everybody, if the design is, if the leader come up with a design, right? Whatsoever it is, I got to pay to get the costume built by a seamstress before I got to pay to get it paced and stuff like that and decorate it. So everybody got to behave. And people need to get that in their thick head.
Okay,
doesn't get anything. The majority of us, of drunkenness, gets nothing.
Thank you very much,
we does it because we love what we're doing. So don't try to zero on us to make some money. Go to hell.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, everybody. Let's go to the next caller there.
Nuri, you know any retirement homes or geriatric residential care facilities for drunkenness?
The junkanoo people don't want that.
Oh.
When they can't rush no more, they suffer. Oh. There's no commission to help them. And nobody asking for it.
Okay.
They say they just rush for fun.
Okay.
That's what happens when you rush for fun. Let's go to the next caller. Got in Radio AM. Why are they complaining, man?
Hello? Yes.
Yeah, you're live.
Yeah, you know, the one thing about everything we always discuss, you can never go to government to go to any white paper, Darby Junkanoo, or the biometrics card is always trust what I say. And then they often don't remember what they said yesterday. So the problem is that, again, and there's always an arrogance of ignorance, which generally leads to paralysis of analysis or paralysis from analysis of the information that we speak of. And for those computer experts that often, you know, they pop up, computer experts, data experts, crypto experts, everything. Whatever we need in the Bahamas, we could always depend on them popping up on radio and television. But we don't really have any data protection law. Ms. Green, I didn't hear your contribution, but I want you to listen to this carefully, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are therefore called to act collectively, to build systems that interoperable, secure, and inclusive, to invest not only in platform but in people. And regulators who will govern the platforms and the young people who eyed us will power the next wave of innovation. We must be clear about the dangers. We must also be clear this is not simply about platform or data storage. It's about security, sovereignty, and stability. Cybercrime is not a future threat. It's a present one. Misinformation, data exploitation, and data surveillance are eroding trust and weakening domestic institutions. Our electoral systems are vulnerable. Our public databases are exposed. Our citizens are being targeted, not with bombs or bullets, but with falsehoods, with manipulations and breaches of privacy that goes unseen but cut deep. There's the nature of modern conflict, quiet disadvantage. We are not to build legal, institutional, and technical framework to confront these threats. We must lose control of every system we depend on to function as sovereign nation. Digital colonization is not just about who owns the infrastructure, but who's decided what is true, and on and on and on, right?
Mm-hmm.
We must. So this is from the Prime Minister, and I think this was, I don't remember the
Kanto
date. I think it was July 13th or something.
Yeah, I think it was Kanto, his address to Kanto.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And let me say, for all of those individuals, and I know, you know, I you know, data, I may not know as much as them, you know, such as single source code of truth, master identity record, cross verification, fraud detection. You know, I don't know as much as they like, but I know what is being proposed right here is very scary. It's very scary because we have not demonstrated the competence to do it. I hear people talk about passport. I hear people talk about NIB. I hear people talk about the driver's license. And the government has not given me any information concerning data virtualization, the biometric data interoperability, data protection, none of these things. And they're about to pass a law. They refer to a 2020 amendment to the Parliamentary Elections Act that granted authority to issue biometrics voter card, but that law that they want to keep referring to did nothing to put in place the protection that's necessary. We have not updated any real data protection since 2003 or 4, whatever it is that we talk about.
Okay.
So I'm saying to you, Ryan, and birth certificates, to that person who talked about data and the children's birth and everything, they're clueless. What I'm saying to you is that the government is about to put something that will control all of your future lives, period.
Thank you very
much. And we have not had any real conversation of the systems that is going to be used, that's going to be put in place. We haven't had any test runs. We haven't had exactly how it's going to run. The government has even talked about giving out flash drives with data and information. We're moving into an age of quantum computing now within 5 to 10 years. All of these things must be spoken about in context when we talk about becoming a digital country. What we have is digital immigrants talking about billing systems for digital birth citizens and everything else, and they have not have anything.
Okay.
A professional should be the one we could question and quiz and everything else of this. Not these MPs who last week were struggling with their cell phones. Most of them can't tell you how the fingerprint on the phone work or how they open their car doors, but they want to tell us now, trust us.
And that's what we can have a conversation about, C. Allen, and definitely whether we need to push back, pause, have a better discussion on how we're going to implement these things.
Okay, and because we're in the vein of, are y'all complaining too much, or is there something like real and
real
to the complaints? Let me tell you what's a very easy observation. Outside of the use of digital colonialism, in the Prime Minister's speech even, nobody's using the language associated with this sector. They're not even using the language. You heard all of the terms that C. Allen Johnson used just now. Even I was not sufficiently familiar with them mm-hmm. to use them in my commentary, right? Although I'm familiar with them. The people who are responsible for creating the policy and implementing the policy are not using the language associated with the policy. It's as if it's a foreign language to them. And then we must just take a risk with them taking a risk.
Let's go to the caller.
That's a simple observation.
And we can run through all the texts. Read all these texts. Let's go to the caller first. Go ahead. Guardian Radio AM. Caller going once. Caller going twice. No, caller going. So let's go through the text. These are a number of people who are listening, who have some concerns about why people complaining. Are they complaining for complaining's sake? Or they have genuine concern about how things are being implemented.
All right, here's the first text. Nuri from the way C. Allen talk, an FNM government will be perfect. Second text, good morning. Whenever the Bahamas decides to go digital with voters' card, voters' registration, and election, it has to be run on a dual system for at least one general election, one local government election, or two general elections at least. There's absolutely no trust in these systems. See, that's another concern there. We don't beta test anything.
Mm-hmm.
We don't test out any of these digital models. But then as soon as we implement them, the onus is on you, the citizen or service user, to get everything right. You haven't even tested the system, man.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another text. CA and Aaron, please tell the government and everyone, we Bahamians ain't dumb. We are not stupid. We're not conks. We ready understand what you're doing. And it says the government, they have a concern that the biometric cards will be used to support illegal migration.
What?
Yeah, they're saying that it'll be easier to commit fraud with the biometric cards. And I think the whole reasoning is that it'll be harder to commit fraud with the biometric card, right?
Okay. Let's go to this caller and then we continue with the thing. Go ahead, caller. Guide in Radio AM and squeezing you in so we go back to the text line.
Yes, good morning, Steve. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
Hey, Aaron, listen, I have no problem with this biometric card or whatever. I mean, the government already know everything about me that I gave them my information on my passport. What else they need to know, all right? You know, the Prime Minister said that if you want it, you get it. If you don't want it, leave it, okay? So you could pick and choose and refuse. Come on, man. I remember almost 20-something years ago when I think Mr. Shivago Lang, I think he was the Minister of Finance. You remember they brought in people from Malaysia, and we supposed to have e-commerce, we have all these things online. Man, we behind the eight ball. We behind the eight ball. Little Turks and Caicos Islands, stay and get these cards. Hey, man, listen, let's move forward, man. Let's go forward. What could go wrong, see?
Oh, let's talk about it, Uncle. I'm so glad you asked the question. Let me tell you what could go wrong. Nobody has a problem with advancing. Right? Yeah, we need biometric cards. Sure, we do. We certainly need to move away from the paper cards, right? That's not the question. You ask what could go wrong? Everything could go wrong if the process is not legislated properly, right? If the proper provisions are not put in place, everything could go wrong. The problem is not with advancement. The problem is how do we advance? Are we advancing effectively? Are we adhering to the rule of law, right? Are we centering our citizens in the process? Is this just another process to make it easier for the government to do whatever it has to do without any regard to the consequences of their actions? All of the questions have to be asked. Here's a text. Good morning, CA. How about the investigation for fraudulent issuing of passports? Don't you think that should be cleaned up first? Okay, so there have been stories in the paper addressing specific cases with specific individuals who have been indicted, right? They've been brought before, they've been charged, right? And so we see the progress.
And we've seen that they've changed the process at the passport office 3, 4, 5 times. Even the type of passport we have over the years, they see they've changed it 3, 4, 5 times to correct whatever issue. Of course, there might be still some issues there, but there's movement.
Yeah. Here's a text. What could go wrong? I have to refer to my legal.
Oh, you can't read that.
Yeah. I refer to my legal team on that one. Text. So you know we can't read that. Here's one. We are behind the eight ball because we have digitally ignorant people in charge of execution. Imagine a blind man directing your open heart or brain surgery. It is about doing it right the first time. Texas says, what I'm saying is if illegal criminals already have passports, they can use them to get voter cards simply because it's biometric, which means the passport office, which is distributing illegal passports, already have all the information in the system. So they will just transfer it already to have voters' cards. Okay, see, Texas, this is one of the things we're talking about, right? It's not unreasonable for people to say, hey, if you take in the biometric data directly from the passport office, we would like you to show us, substantively, we would like you to show us that you are dealing with and you have dealt with any fraudulent information that may have been received or accepted by the passport office. That's reasonable to raise, mm-hmm. and it's reasonable to expect your government to speak to that concern. Mm-hmm. That's why we're saying there's still a conversation. Just because America been doing it, just because Turks and Caicos been doing it, have you asked the question, how did they do it? You review their legislation. You determine what parts of their legislation could work here, or if it is what we want, the people want, if it's best suited for this environment, right? Multi-island, archipelagic nature that has a difficulty maintaining. See, here's the next thing. Is there a card reader? Now, we're not using the biometric card to vote. It's not electronic voting yet, right? But will there be a card reader to read my biometric card when I present to vote in the old way, right? Mm-hmm. What if the power goes off?
A battery.
Every polling station?
Yes, technology. If you use the technology. But at this present time, the same way you present the purple card and they look at it and look at you. You present your card, they look at you and look at that, and then that's what it is. That's what we are at this present time. Yeah, ain't no swiping nothing.
The next point I wanted to make is don't assume that because in this election cycle it's not mandatory that everybody have a biometric card, that it won't be made mandatory in the near future or in the next election cycle. And I think that is not unreasonable to ask your government to speak to. Don't just tell me, oh, you ain't going to need it, because the reason you're not going to need it for this election is they cannot ensure that every single person entitled to vote has a biometric card. And it's likely that that's the reason why it's not mandatory at this point, because they can't fulfill their part. You could imagine it's mandatory. I come to vote and you don't have my card?
I just hope they start the process. I need a new ID to put in my wallet. And that paper card thing, you should see how my voter's card look.
Because if you have to fold it up to put it in your wallet.
I have to fold it up to put it in my wallet and fold it four times. So I would need a card.
Listen, I tell you, you have a number for St. Barnabas?
I should.
Tell them, make a seat for me on Wednesday. I need to go.
I'm glad you're going to church.
I need to go.
This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much, Aaron Green. We were talking about, are we complaining for complaining's sake? Or there are real reasons behind our complaints? Have a wonderful night.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.